Hello there, you're welcome to another interesting edition of Sports Africana, where we bring you the most interesting sporting stories, particularly for an African perspective. My name is Oba Adeola Amokomo, and for the next few minutes thereabout, we're going to be taking a trip in the world of sports. Remember, you can always listen to our podcast on all the major podcast directories. We've got quite a number of episodes have been recorded, interviews, discussion sessions that you'll really enjoy. So please subscribe to our channel, our podcast channel, and you'll get all the necessary information whenever they come out. Today promises to be exciting. It's not an exception as usual. And of course, you can follow us on all our social media platforms. We are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, we're on Instagram. All you just need to do is type in Sports Africana and it brings it up, and you'll be able to get all the necessary information and our updates. Right, as you know, we've had a very, very busy summer, from the league ending due to the pandemic, and when we're watching football games back to back, to the Euros, and then of course the Olympics. And believe it or not, the season, the football season, has started in several parts of Europe. Well, it started in England just yesterday. If you listen to this recording, this recording was just done just after the English Premier League started. But we're going to be paying particular attention to Nigerian players. As you all know, Nigeria, there are loads of Nigerian players across the world, across the globe. It is generally said that after Brazil, Nigeria is the next country when it comes to football players export. We're going to be focusing on the players to watch out for in this Europe, in this new season that has just commenced. And to help me discuss that, I've got someone who all he does is he bleeds Nigerian football. Nigerian football 360. Please, it's a pleasure to have Dafe Otiti on Sports Africana. He's a very, very, very good friend. And whenever we call upon him, he's always ready to deliver, particularly when it comes to Nigerian football, and he's very, very passionate about it. He doesn't shy away from it. Well, I can tell you that he's wearing the jersey right now of the Nigerian team. So that tells you all you need to know. Nice to have you, Dafe.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me once again. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's been a very good success story for Nigerian football players last season. We had the likes of Terry Murphy, Kelechi Iheanacho, Victor Osimhen, Simi Nwankwo. Quite a number of them were, quite successful. But we'll just take it a step one at a time. So first and foremost, let's look at the strike. The last time we met, we talked about some of the strikers who making a rave, the Nigerian strikers who really excelled, that made our Super Eagles look something to behold in a very long time. We talked about Simi Nwankwo, Kelechi Iheanacho, Terry Murphy, Victor Osimhen,
Taola Yinka.
Sadiq Omar, and you name it. So what is the situation with those players at the moment? So let's just take them one at a time. So Kelechi Iheanacho, for example, is still in Leicester, but there are rumors, I heard on Sky yesterday, that he's being touted by Roma. And of course, talking about Roma, a name comes to mind. I'm not a fan of him, but and I'm talking about Jose Mourinho. What do you say about Kelechi? And why do he's being touted at this particular point in time?
The fact is the season has just started. In fact, they haven't played their first season game yet. They played the Charity Shield last week. Kelechi is somebody who fits Leicester very well. I think the news or the thought process is Roma are going after Tammy Abraham, and Kelechi Iheanacho is a second option. If I was Kelechi, I would tell them to don't even consider me. If I'm not your first option, then there's no point, because it will also mean that even if they do get him, as he's a second option, they'll be looking for somebody else as well to go as a prime striker. Kelechi fits Leicester very, very well now. They call him senior man, not because of age, but because he's established in that team. He's probably, apart from Vardy, he's the second most established striker there. Patson Daka has come across, yes. But guess who is settling him in? It's Kelechi. So Kelechi is part of the furniture there. And I don't see why he would move as a second option somewhere. And also, let's not forget that Leicester, they're a top five, top six club in the English Premier League. So to move across to another top five league is not a priority for him. I wouldn't think so.
More so, when it comes to Italy, particularly as a country, it's a very, very fiercely unforgiving. It's got fiercely unforgiving fans and media base. Yeah. And from what we've seen of Kelechi in the last season, you notice that he's blossoming because he's playing off Jamie Vardy as a partner. And we cannot guarantee that if he does move to Roma, that he'll be partnering the striker, may end up playing as a lone striker, which doesn't suit him.
Yeah, again, we have to look at the traditional way that Roma plays and the traditional setup that Mourinho typically sets his team up. So it's about looking to see if he fits. But like I said, going there as a second option, it's for me, it's a non-starter, because he commands a regular place in the starting lineup at Leicester now, and he's firing on all cylinders. He finished last season very well. He started this season fine, so I don't see why there's any urgency for him to move.
Thank you very much. And next person I thought to talk about is Simi Nwankwo. What do we know about Simi? You know, he scored. He was one of the top goal scorers in the Italian league, and it's quite amazing that he's not even being chased by some of the at least middle table teams. What do we know about Simi Nwankwo at the moment?
Yeah, well, like last season, he was the fifth highest striker in the entire Serie A, behind the likes of Insigne and Lukaku and co. So he performed creditably well for a bottom team, or let the relegated team, to be amongst the top strikers in the league is a feat in itself. He has always provided the goals for Crotone over the seasons. He did it last season. He did it in Serie B. The season before, he did it in Serie A, the season before that got him the World Cup call-up, if you like. He's being touted to being chased by Salernitana, which is another team that recently got promoted. They recruited Joel Obi as well. In the media, we always see his name associated with the likes of Lazio, with Fiorentina, but that is all speculation. At the end of the day, Simi needs to be in a Premier League team. There is no team in Italy that will not benefit from his presence there. But even if he can't get a decent team in Italy, there are a lot of teams in France that he will fit as well. Being a top striker, being somebody who has guaranteed goals over the seasons, it's kind of surprising that the top teams are not coming for him.
And looking at the way he plays, he will suit a team like Burnley very well.
Yeah.
And it's quite surprising that nobody's even looking in his direction.
Yeah. It's a weird one. And it's not even the case of, because sometimes you find that clubs in Europe, they overprice our players or price them out of moves. We saw that with Franco Yeka last year, until this time he's moved to Brentford. We are seeing that with Onuachu as well. It's teams are willing to spend up to a certain amount. I think they say West Ham offered 17 million for a 35 goal a year striker. The club Genk are looking at 22 million. So there's a 5 million gap in their estimation. But why teams tend to price our players out of moves? I don't know whether it's a case of the player representation. I don't know whether it's a case of their agents or their managers not negotiating as well as their European counterparts. But Simi should get a move, again, to a recently promoted club. But we, like you said, we want to see him mid-table at least not have that fear of the trapdoor behind him swallowing him up with relegation again.
Talking about, you mentioned the next name I was going to talk about, and that's Paul Onuachu. Paul Onuachu scored the highest number of goals in the Belgian Football League history in a very, very long time.
In almost 40 years,
In almost 40 years. Now, when you have a striker like that, it shouldn't just be West Ham chasing you.
Yeah.
It'd be clubs all over the top five leagues that should be chasing you. What exactly do we know? Or what? Of course, the season has started.
Again, I will only point it to player representation, because his agents, his managers, his people representing him should be able to put him in the shop front and should be able to negotiate with all sorts, not just sit back and wait for clubs to come knocking, but actively go out there and say, right, this player is ready to move, his club is ready to negotiate, what do you want to do? And then push the price up. I mean, there's no reason. Paul Onuachu is what, 27, 20, 28? He's, you look at Lukaku, who is probably about the same age, going for almost 100 million. And the likes of that. It's not a case of age, it's not a case of anything but player representation. He should have clubs queuing up, and then they sit down, look at all the options and decide on the one that best fits him. So it's I can only put it to player representation.
Well, player representation. And taking us to the next player, Victor Osimhen. In his first full season with Napoli, in my opinion, it was a partial success. And when I mean partial success, I would consider the fact that he was injured at some point in time, the coronavirus issue. And with all that, he was still able to hit double digits, if I put it that way. He scored 10 goals in the full league season. I think from the preseason, we are beginning to see that he's beginning to hone up to himself. He's beginning to show that, okay, I'm not just here to settle for the crumbs. And I know the last time you mentioned that he met certain players there. So they're not just going to roll the carpet for him. He needs to take the bull by the horn. What do you think we're going to see of Victor Osimhen this season?
Yeah, he had a topsy-turvy season last year. A new boy in Italy, new players, and then the injuries that he had, the shoulder injury with the Super Eagles, and then contracting Corona. So it was stop-start season for him last year. At least over the preseason, he has had a full preseason. He has a new manager as well who sees him as an arrowhead for the club. That coach has developed quite a lot of top strikers in Italy.
Spalletti.
Yes, Spalletti. Victor has blended well. He has blended a bit more with the team. They now understand him a lot better, having had all of last season and pre-season. He's firing on all cylinders. But then I always say you can't use pre-season games to judge a player. It is a pointer, but you can't use it to judge him. The acid test will come in the first Serie A match, but I would be very, very surprised if he does not hit 20. If he does not hit 15 to 20 goals this season, I'll be very surprised.
I'm actually looking at that as well. Actually, I'll be surprised because I felt if with all the challenges you're able to hit 10 goals,
yeah,
Can you imagine when you're fully fit all season? And so I think it would have found his feet a bit. It would have found himself in the team, and to see where he fits in, it would have probably have an understanding of the player's mentality as well too. Probably saying that, well, I have to take the bull by the horn. I have to show that I'm a leader of my own as well. So it would be nice to see how we will fit in. All right, another player that comes to mind, and if you're listening to this at this point in time, Terry Murphy of Lorient. He started off on a good note. The league started yesterday. That's the 13th of August, if you're listening to this program. So Terry Murphy did exactly what we thought he does.
Yeah, well, like we said, he played against Monaco yesterday, scored a penalty. But also, I read a stat about Terem. Of the last four goals that Lorient scored against Monaco, Terem has scored three. So three out of four goals against Monaco has come from his boot. Now, his regular partner, I think, has recently moved. So the team itself is experiencing a little bit of flux, but that also means that they are relying on him a lot more. And the tactics will probably be get the ball to Terem. If he cannot score, then at least he can cause them problems. Whether it results in a free kick or penalty or a goal scoring opportunity, he scored, was it 14 goals last season? I see him topping that. Again, another 15 to 20 goal striker in the top league in France. So I see him pushing for one of the top goal scorers, at least top five goal scorers in France this year.
Five?
Okay, yes, I know.
Top five?
Top five.
Oh, wow.
Don't forget, those goals that he scored last season, that was his first season in France. He was amongst the top 10 goal scorers in France last season. There's no reason why he can't make top five. Yes, I know there are some crazy names in the League One now. We've got Messi coming in trying to upset the apple carts. We've got Mbappe, we got Neymar. Well, they're all in one team. So, so there are some really good strikers in France, but there's no reason why he cannot aim for that top five goal scorer in France this season, given that his team are going to be relying on him even more heavily for goals.
All right. Since we're in France at the moment, I think it's worth to talk about another striker who you can see the potential. He had, a mixed season when he was on loan, and we're talking about Josh Maja. Obviously, he's had to return back to Bordeaux, which is his parent club. What do we know about Josh Maja at the moment?
Well, Bordeaux struggled a lot last season, and it looks like they are finally rebuilding. I don't know, did they go through three coaches during the whole season? They've just had their first match. Josh did not appear in the match day squad. Okay, Fulham last season was sort of like a half and half performance. I don't know whether we're looking at a return to England for Josh Maja. Maybe to the Championship, because as it stands, he's not really produced the goods in France. He didn't produce the goods too well with Fulham last season. And now we're looking at this current season. He was not even in the match day squad. We don't know why, but he hasn't really
lighted up.
Sparks. The sparks have not come in a season or two. So I don't know whether a drop in league quality will help him. I mean, the last time we saw him really firing on all cylinders was with Sunderland. And that was in League One in England. After then, we haven't really seen it. I'm not saying that he doesn't have it. He has a lot in his boots. But whether it's a confidence thing, whether it's a bit of bad luck, I don't know. But he really does need to fight to get into the first team of wherever he's going to play.
Mm. Talking about Josh Maja, another player that comes to mind, I wouldn't mind having him in Newcastle as a fan, mm-hmm. so that maybe can help support him. But I think he needs a place where he can be shown some love and a bit of stability. That's mm-hmm. what I think about players like Josh Maja. Talking about Maja, another striker that comes to mind that has been on loan, that needs to settle down a bit is, trying to remember his name, Demola Lookman. Yes, Demola Lookman. What do we know about, what do you think about Demola Lookman at the moment?
I'll be surprised if a Premier League club doesn't come for him. Three seasons ago, he did very well with Leipzig. I think he scored about 11 or 12 goals from the wings with Leipzig. 2 years ago, it sort of dipped in form. But then last season, we saw him with Fulham flying. And he looked at home in the English Premier League. Lookman is somebody that brings sparks every time he's on the pitch. And you will see that he's looking to face the goal, either across the ball to somebody or he doesn't mind going himself. There's no reason why a Premier League side with any ambition should not be coming for him. He was one of the brightest sparks in Fulham last season, and he has done very well. So let's see. We still have a few weeks left of the transfer window. I'm sure teams, after the first couple of games in the league, will see their deficiencies or see what they actually need. And I'm sure one or two clubs will come for Mr. Lookman.
Hopefully. And of course, that now takes me to another Nigerian striker who excelled last season. Unfortunately, his team missed out on relegation. They missed out on the playoff promotion.
Yeah.
We're talking about Sadiq Umar. What do you think? Yeah. What are we hearing? We're hearing Sevilla. But at the moment, it's still in Almeria.
Again, a lot of these reports are just media reports. We don't know whether they have any substance. But one thing that we've heard time and time again are buyout clauses and how much they would let him go for. If we look at Sadiq Umar's history, he's been with Roma, he's been with Glasgow Rangers, didn't really work out well there. In fact, it was a terrible time at Glasgow Rangers. He's been with Partizan Belgrade, where he seemed to catch fire, if you like. Partizan Belgrade in the Europa League, in their own league, he did very well. They made a lot of money on him. I think they sold him for 15 million after exercising their 3 million buyout clause. So they made 12 million off him. And that's one move to Almeria. Now Almeria, he hit the ground running. He was one of the top scorers in La Liga 2. They put a buyout clause on him and they're looking at a transfer in the region of 20 to 30 million for a Serie two, for a La Liga 2 striker. He's not proven in La Liga. He has not really proven himself in a top five league, but looking for 30 million, well, like I said, they're looking to double their money. Will we see him in Sevilla or Valencia? I don't know, but he has proven himself in Serie two. I'm sure a team in Serie A that's maybe a lower league, I'm not saying bottom of the league, but anywhere from middle to lower league side, there's no reason why they can't take a punt on him. Again, the same sort of deal that Partizan had. Loan him for a season with the option to buy at the end of the season. That way, they pay maybe 1-3 million for his services. And then if it doesn't work out, he can go back to Almeria. If it does work out, they can exercise the option. But I don't see why he should not be in La Liga this season. The only thing that's going to stop him is price.
Right. And another striker that comes to mind in all of this is Cyril Dessier, who has not really settled down in Genk, even though he had a very good preseason. He's got some spectacular goals. What do you make of Cyril Dessier? Do you think as long as Onuachu remains there, well, that'll be another bench experience this season? Or we are looking at a situation when Onuachu moves on, the transfer window has not ended yet, Cyril Dessier steps in?
Well, the Genk situation is pretty interesting because they have three Nigeria strikers on their books. They are being linked to a fourth striker as well. So we have Onuachu there, and there is no coach in the world, not a club coach, not a national coach, that will put in a 10, 15 goal a season striker to replace a 30-something goal a season striker. Onuachu, I'm not calling him a stumbling block. He has done very well. And at the end of the day, it's his career that is on the line. It's not for him to start making way for anybody. It's for his representatives to get him a good move. Cyril Dessers did not have a bad season last season. The only issue is he was playing second fiddle to Onuachu. Cyril Dessers, during the preseason and even towards the end of last season, they were setting up matches for him to play, to keep him sharp. He will always come in for Onuachu or alongside Onuachu in the second half of league matches. But there are friendly matches that Genk put on where he scored four or five goals just to show that he's still in the mix. And I think during preseason, he actually captained a couple of friendly games for Genk. So that shows that he is in their plans. He's a good striker. I'm not saying he's as good as, or I'm not comparing him with Onuachu. But again, this is another 15 goal a season striker. He was scoring freely in the Netherlands before he moved to Genk. So now, as I did mention, they have three strikers on their books. So there's Onuachu, there's Cyril Dessers, there's also Stephen Ode. Stephen Ode spent time with Amiens last season. He's come back, but he's not really in the first squad. So whether it's another loan move for him out, we're not sure. But Genk are also heavily, heavily linked to Ike Ugbo of Chelsea, who may come across to allow Paul Onuachu to go and then compete one-on-one with Cyril Dessers. So there's no resting on laurels. Even though there's a succession plan with Genk, there is no hard and fast. If Ike Ugbo hits the ground running, Cyril Dessers will have to compete with him. Cyril Dessers probably has the advantage of being a hometown boy, having had a season already with them, and they know exactly what he can do. So I see him as probably the number one striker once Paul goes, and then Ike fighting for that first team place as well.
Right.
No call for alarm.
No calls. We should calm down. that takes me on to the midfield. Looking at the midfield.
Before you go to midfield, there are two other players three. Taiwo Awoniyi for Union Berlin.
Yes.
Last season, Taiwo did pretty well. His season was cut short by injury. But Union Berlin saw enough of him to go back to Liverpool and say, give us this striker permanently. So Taiwo is in a good place now. He's settled now. In Berlin. Berlin is a lovely city. I've visited twice. He's now settled. He now knows that his performance now is in his own hands. He did okay last season. I'm looking at him to perform well this season. Minimum 10 to 15 goals this season should at least see him have his feet under the table. Another one who comes to mind. In the same Bundesliga, and the newly promoted side, Greuther Fürth, there's a young man there, Dixon Abiyama. They plucked him from a Division 4 team last season. And every time they called on him, he did the job for them. They gained promotion to Bundesliga. That's a name that we'll start hearing more and more now. Yeah. And then finally, a player from Belgium who didn't really set the world alight, David Okereke, now in Serie A, signed to Venezia, who is one of the new clubs that's got promoted to Serie A. This is a new start for him. And David was probably playing second fiddle to Emmanuel Bonaventure. They have both now left Club Brugge. And hopefully we'll see more of David Okereke in Serie A this season with Venezia. He joins Tyrone Ekwehi there. So there's a lot of Nigerian influence or interest there.
Right.
Okay, so you wanted to move to midfielders.
And you now mentioned Bonaventure. Hopefully, discipline will set in and he'll get a fit. I mean, it's not all the time you get the opportunity to play in the Premier League. What do you think, Bonaventure, Emmanuel Bonaventure?
I think he moved to the right club because Watford are used to dealing with players that carry baggage. When you look at Watford, their players in the past, you have Troy Deeney. It was a wild one. They tamed him. They made him the captain. And Troy Deeney sort of embodies the Watford spirit. You look at Andre Gray. He's another person with a mixed background, but they've molded him to fit, and he's done really well with Watford. Now, we talk about Dennis Bonaventure. I'm sure those two would have sat down with him and said, look here, don't come and muck about here because you see these tattoos, we didn't get them for fun. But also, let's not forget that there's a heavy Nigerian contingent in...
We'll come there.
In Watford. So those will also have sat down with him. Senior players like Ogene Karatebo, or senior players like William Troost would have sat him down and said, Dennis, look, you have an opportunity here. Don't blow it. Looking at Dennis, you cannot also not look at Isaac Success as well. He's another person with a mixed performance over the years, has had his troubles, has had his ups and downs. Watford have not been able to polish him yet. So with those two, Dennis Bonaventure and Isaac Success, this is a season which is make or break for them. Mm. If they do not perform as expected up till December, I will not be surprised to see them loaned out somewhere else.
Mm. Right, hopefully they perform well and... They get the best out of them. Now, talking about midfield now, we're talking about someone who made his move from Denmark and played his first game yesterday against Arsenal. And we're talking about Frank the Tank Onyeka of Brentford. He moved from Midtjylland in Denmark. Brentford is probably the unofficial Danish national team in the Premier League. Just that we have Wolves having been the unofficial team for Portugal. So
yeah, exactly.
Frank Onyeka had a very good pre-season. He's already been rated a lot by the fans. Had a decent game in their opening game against Arsenal. What do you make of Frank Onyeka in the midfield?
Well, like you said, Frank comes with Champions League experience. Because he played Champions League with Midtjylland. He's been one of the best players, not best midfielders, best players in Denmark over the last season. Frank actually came to the fore after Onuachu left Midtjylland for a game. He's come into the English Premier League. He's come into a club that really looked at him and understood him. He has done very, very well during preseason. So well that they call him Frank the Tank. The supporters, they even have songs a song for him already. So there are a lot of high expectations. And I can't remember who made a comment yesterday to say, wherever you put Frank in that midfield, Frank will do a job competently. He scored against Valencia in preseason. He acquitted himself very, very well yesterday against Arsenal. Yes, I saw him concede a couple of free kicks in dangerous areas, but that will come with experience. Will he succeed ultimately in England? The English Premier League is the kind of place where the opposition will study you. They will look to see how you do what you do. And there's one fear I have for Frank, is that they will find out how he plays and aim to stop him. Yes, yesterday he was the surprise package, if you like. They didn't really know much about him. But the kind of, I won't say fear, concern I have. I don't know, you remember a this name, Tony Yeboah.
Tony Yeboah.
Yeah, when he came to play with Leeds. First half of the season, he was scoring some crazy goals. You see goals from the edge of the D. You will see he will come in and he was knocking in goals. By the second half of the season, he seemed to fizzle out. And what happened? Teams understood that if you let his left leg go, he's going to score. So they stopped the ball going to his left leg, if you like. So this is where I'm saying, I hope he has enough in his tank to vary his play without affecting his effectiveness. First half of the season, I see him flying. Let's see what happens in the second half of the season when teams have understood how he plays.
Well, I guess he will have enough in his tank because that's why they call him Frank the Tank. And yeah. Talking about him as well, I have a feeling of an indie kind of situation around him, in the sense that he will develop to, because he's very, very reliable. And if there's any, and those are the kind of midfielders that that is liked in England. Yeah. So I hopefully
energetic, puts his foot in, destroys the building up attacks, launches forward.
So hopefully Brentford have a very good season. It would be nice to have such a player in the Premier League. Okay, so those are the major midfield changes in the Nigerian from Nigeria. Are there any other ones that comes to mind?
Yeah, well, there's Alhassan Youssouf, moved from Gothenburg to Royal Antwerp. He's had two season games already. I'm going to move away from pre-season and concentrate on season games. The first game he played against the Bearshot, I think they won 5-2. And this is first time, was it Bearshot they played? I can't remember their first match. But this was the first time they had scored more than one goal against that team. This is the first time they had won a match against that team in over a year and a half. And he was instrumental to their midfield. Coming to their game yesterday, they drew 1-1 with Charleroi. He provided the assist for their goal. So Alhassan Youssouf, moving from Sweden, Gothenburg, to Royal Antwerp, is a name that will come to hear quite often. There are another, maybe, let me cut it down to three others that I want to mention. Leslie Ogochukwu for Rennes in League One. The nephew of Onyekachi Apam, he has good genes. He's starting to command a starting place for Rennes, and he's getting some good reviews. A defensive midfielder, tall, athletic. We've been sending signals to him to say, don't forget us. I see him talking about Egusi. I see him talking about Okra Soup. I see him meeting up with players like Ola Aina doing friendlies. So that's one that I have a very good feeling about. There's another one at Ghent in Belgium, Olawale Oladoye. He was an under-20 for Nigeria last year, moved across from Water FC to Ghent. He's now commanding a first-team place within 6 months, commanding a first-team place with Ghent. That is no mean feat. So that's a team that we're going to hear about. And then there's Obinna Nwobodo, who moved from Hungary to Turkey.
Former Flying Eagles player.
Former Flying Eagles player. He's sealed down in midfield spot, one of the best midfielders in Turkey. And finally, we have Kelechi Nwakali for Huesca. Last season, he was loaned to Alcorcon. He was one of the best players for the side, for Alcorcon in Serie B. La Liga 2. During preseason, he actually captained Huesca in a couple of preseason games, and he started for Huesca yesterday in their 2-0 win of their first league game. So he's somebody who we're looking at to seal that first team spot with his club and hopefully drive them to promotion next season.
Right. And so that's a good roundup from the midfield section. And these are good times for Nigerian players. I mean, the pool is just increasing.
One more midfielder. Our Niger Danish club, Midtjylland. We saw Onuachu move from there. We saw Frank Onyeka move from there. We now have another one, Rafael Onyedika, who has now cemented a place in their midfield. So he's another person. He appeared in the Europa League. I think it was against, did they play Rangers or who did they play? I can't remember. But he actually scored in the Europa League already. So it's another one for the future.
So that's probably a potential Brentford player.
who knows?
Right. The defense. It's nice to see Tyrone Eboye
move
to a much more competitive league because he's moved to Venezia, who is a newly promoted side they're promoted to Serie A. So what do you make of Eboye? Very brilliant last season with FC 20 last season.
Well, Tyrone needed to settle down because moving to, I think it was Benfica.
And
he had that terrible injury that ended his season, ended football for him for a year. Moved to FC 20 on loan. It was like going home. Go home, get the love, get the attention, get the support. Whatever he needed, it was around him. So last season was sort of like settling down to get back into business, if you like. So he's now trying to build on that settling down. Like you said, is a step up in league quality, is a step up in the quality of players he's going to face. And they say to be the best, you have to play against the best. There is no reason why Tyrone, number one, should not command a starting spot. Just hold down that right back position with Venezia. And then that's the first challenge. Second challenge is to make sure that he acquits himself very well. I have no doubt that those two targets for him are not achievable. Tyrone has battled to get himself back into reckoning. And I can only see, as long as he gives that same vision and determination, there's no reason why he cannot hit higher heights with this move to Serie A, yeah.
Personally, I think he's the best right-back Nigeria has at the moment after Yisa Sofolue. And I'm talking about natural right, but someone that actually was trained and groomed as a proper right back.
Again, when we look at right backs, he has very good competition in the same league with Ola Aina. Although Ola is not a specialist, if you like. Ola can roam anywhere, right back, left back, center back, midfield. But say, it'll be good to see how both of them perform side by side in the same league, and see what results come from that.
Right, and you've mentioned the name, Ola Aina, at the moment is back with Torino. We don't know whether he's going to take another loan move somewhere elsewhere. We don't know what his situation is at. What do you think?
I don't know, because last season with Fulham, he did pretty well. We saw flashes of what he can do. Playing with Fulham was like playing with the Super Eagles. When he goes well, he goes very well. You see his link up with Ademola Lookman, the same way he linked up with Iwobi during the Super Eagles. When it goes well for him, it goes very well. I don't know whether it's a consistency thing or whether it's sometimes he performs to the highest standards, other times he doesn't reach those heights, but still better than a lot of other alternatives. I think it's a case of we expect excellence from him all the time, and he's human, just like everybody else. We're not machines. Will Torino hold on to him for this season? I think probably the first half of the season they will hold on to him and look for that spark from him. Will they loan him out again towards the end of the season, say Christmas time? I don't know, but I'm looking forward to seeing him perform at least for the next 6 months in Serie A.
Right, and talking about another defender that seemed to have cemented his place with Bovista, and that is Chidoze Awuzie. You know, it seems to have now gotten a bit of stability moving to Bovista.
It's a strange one with Boavista, because I think the club themselves have some issues with transfers. I'm not sure if they're appealing a transfer ban or they're facing a transfer ban or whatever. Maybe they got him just in time before. I've not seen him in their starting line. In fact, in their matchday squads for their past three matches. And they played the cup. They played two cup games this August. He wasn't in the matchday squads. He's been linked to moves away. Whether that is linked to their transfer issues, I don't know. But he's been missing from action, and it's kind of, I won't say worrying, but the lack of information is what is more concerning. If you like, I would like to see him play. Whether it's with Boavista, he can push them to a better league position than they were last season. He captained them last season as well for quite a few matches. So it shows that they have a lot of confidence in him. But I'd like to see his situation with more clarity. Whether they've bought to sell or they've bought to play him, we haven't seen him yet. July, August. So let's see how that goes. But he's a top defender. He's coming into his own. He's playing with authority, with confidence, and with assurance. Let's see him come onto the pitch very, very soon.
We're talking about another player that is in need of stability, and that's Chidoze Awuzie. Another defender that is worth mentioning, it's William Troost-Ekong. Finally, is able to achieve his dream of playing in the Premier League. William Troost-Ekong was a Tottenham Academy player, played alongside Harry Kane. In fact, as a matter of fact, when he arrived in England, it was Harry Kane that helped him out, you know, when he was trying to fill the form or something. And he's had a kind of Israelite kind of journey to the top, you know, from leaving Tottenham to going back to Holland, playing in, he moved to Ghent, I think it was Ghent. And even when he moved, he He was loaned to Norway, and where
from he's, Norway to Turkey,
to Turkey, and to, yeah. to Italy, and eventually England. What do you think of that story with William Troost Ekong?
Well, William Troost Ekong has settled down now, I believe, in Watford. He played a major part of their promotion success season last season. He's an established member of that squad. He's an established first team player. But now this is the Premier League. This is now playing with the big boys, where he has always seen himself to be, right from when he was younger to, and you could see, even during the COVID shutdowns, you could see the determination. You could see he was training alone. He was going out. He was taking care of his fitness. He's risen to assistant captain of the Super Eagles. There is no reason why we should not see him thrive very well in the English Premier League. Yes, a lot of people tend to look at him and point out in his deficiencies. There's no player that doesn't have deficiencies. But now he's playing at the highest level that he has probably played in his life. And I see him settling in, being a key member of the first team for Watford and doing pretty well. The aim for Watford is nothing more than survival at this time.
Yeah.
I don't see why they shouldn't be able to achieve that.
And talking about Watford, we have another Nigerian presence, Peter Ogenekaro
Etebo. Yes, sir.
I'll be proud to say that that is a product of the MPFL.
Yes.
Okay. So good move for him playing in the Premier League eventually. I personally felt that he signed too soon for Stoke before the World Cup.
Yeah.
I thought if he had delayed it, he would have gotten a better club because he had a decent World Cup. In fact, he was one of the standout players in that World Cup. What do you think?
Yeah, Ogenekaro, he has it in him, if you like. He's played for Granada. He's played for teams in
Galatasaray,
La Liga. He's played for Galatasaray in Turkey. Moving to Stoke, I think the aim was to gain promotion. The same aim that Mikel Obi had when he moved to Stoke as well. It didn't quite work out with Stoke. Maybe he wasn't what they needed at the time.
Stoke he was actually their best player of the season.
Yeah,
in his first year, so I'm quite surprised to see him move.
Yeah, but I guess best player of the season, but they did not achieve their aim, which was promotion. So that was why they probably thought we need to look in a different direction and try it a different way. Certain players have to go. Certain players will now come to the fore. But now he's in the English Premier League. Like I said, he had played at the top. He has played at La Liga before. So he knows what quality is required. He has a lot of experience under his belt. Even if it's only from 2018 World Cup till now, he has a lot of experience under his belt. And being there, I was pleased to see that he was playing with the likes of Tom Dele, Bashiru and Co, because he can help build their own career as well. They can look up to Uncle Peter and say, right, Uncle Peter, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? Because let's not kid it. He's a senior player, if you like. May not be senior at Watford, but in terms of the football experience and profession career-wise, he's a senior player. Will he play every game for Watford? I don't think so, but at least I'll be looking to see that he plays at least three quarters of their games in the English Premier League.
And we've seen Tom Dele Bashiru, you mentioned.
Yeah,
moved on to Reading.
Yeah. Again, he had a season-ending injury last year, October 2020, until he came back in June 2021, started pre-season for them. But then when you look at it, English Premier League is not the kind of place that you want to use to rehabilitate or to try things. Mm. I think he was sent out on loan with the option of recall in December to get him into a reasonable fitness level. Watford will look at their squad and say, these people played the full part of our pre-season and getting ready for the new English Premier League. This is not the time to bring somebody who is not 100% or who has not proven to be 100%, but I can't say that he's not 100%. But they didn't have a full pre-season with him. He doesn't have the strategies. He doesn't have the tactics that they have decided to adopt. So they said, right, you go across there, build up your stamina, build up your strength, build up your match fitness, and then we'll see whether we can slot you into our squad. So he's on the up. Hopefully he remains injury free and doesn't have a recurrence. But the bigger thing is let's see him gain that match fitness and that strength that he's going to require in the Premier League.
Right, and we now move to the goalkeeping department.
One more person before we move to the goalkeepers, Calvin Bassey of Rangers.
Rangers.
Yeah, he's been on the bench. He's probably their second choice right back, but their last game in the Scottish Cup, they won 5-0. He provided 2 assists, and a lot of fans are now calling the coach to say, why is he not the first choice? Sorry, left back. Why is he not the first choice? He's done very well, and I can see him challenging for that starting position in the Rangers starting lineup alongside Leon Balogun and Joe Aribo.
Okay, so moving to the goalkeeping department now, what is the situation? There was a news that I think I saw the news from you, which affected one of Nigeria's prospects, Dele Alampasu. Can you tell us the story?
Yeah, very unfortunate. His team have been found guilty of match fixing. However, Dele was not part of the team at the time. This match fixing allegation goes back to 2018 when they played Bordeaux in the Europa League. Dele did not join them until 2020. So there's no... One second. I need to... I'm back.
Yeah, so it wasn't affected.
Yeah, sorry, I had to deal with an emergency. Yeah. Right, Dele joined Ventspils in 2020, but their owners and the referee were found guilty of match fixing. So their club has faced a 7-year ban from European football.
Wow.
This has meant three Nigerian players in that team are now clubless, if you like. Dele now needs to find another club to sign him and get to playing. It's very unfortunate for him, but sometimes that's how football goes. You can't legislate for the stupidity of somebody else, especially if that person turns out to be your club owner.
Right. And talking about goalkeeper, Maduka mm-hmm. Oye has fully been established now.
Yeah. He was linked to Ajax. He's been linked to VV Venlo. He's been linked to quite a few clubs. Sparta Prague have increased his contract. They've tied him up. Because he's somebody that came across, they weren't sure what they were getting, but they knew they had a talent on their hands. Turned out to be their player of the season in Sparta, Rotterdam. He is on the up. There's no doubt about it. He's probably our best performing, not probably, he's our best performing goalkeeper, period. No matter where you want to look in the world. And deservedly number one. A lot of people may dispute that, but it's very, very difficult to argue against Maduka Okoye, the top performing goalkeeper, top performing Nigerian goalkeeper, player of the year, and one of the top goalkeepers in Holland.
So we can say that we are safe in the goalkeeping department, at least.
Well, we are safe because there's competition. Because the next goalkeeper competing with him, Francis Uzoho. So those two are number one and number two. Francis is in a good place now. I'm not saying he's in the best place. I'm not saying he's in the best club.
But at least he's playing regularly.
He's in a good place now. Because coming back from the last year or two, where he had injuries, again, he had problems with club owners, forging documents just to get him to play. He was suspended once because of racial abuse thrown at him, where he reacted. He had that horrible injury against Brazil for the Super Eagles. He has come back and he signed for Apoel Nicosia. Yeah. He was battling for the number one goalkeeper position. He was competing favorably there. Now, when I say he's in a good place, the person he was competing with, I think it's Manuel Silva, has gone back to Portugal. So he's now the undisputed number one goalkeeper in Cyprus. What do we need from Francis? Number one, establish, don't let anybody take that number one goalkeeper position from you. And the next target has got to be moved to a more competitive league. But again, looking at it from a Nigerian perspective, Maduka and Francis Uzoho, number one and number two. I'm not saying who is number one, who is number two, but they are top two goalkeepers competing for the number one spot in the Super Eagles. That competition is only good. It can only be good for the country.
It can only be good for the country. And it brings us to the era of the Vincent Enyama and Austin Ejide era, where we have two good goalkeepers. And
let's not forget that they are both young.
Yes.
They are both in their early 20s. So we're looking at 10 years of competition, if they can keep fit.
Yeah, and talking about the goalkeeper, of course, Daniel Akpeyi had a very good season last season, bearing the Champions League final. Champions League final, which they lost to a better team anyway. So
he had a really good. Al Ahly is the number one team in Africa, without a doubt. So there's no shame in losing.
There's no shame in losing to them. Another goalkeeper that comes to mind, and this one for me is quite closer to home in the sense that I know the father very well, and and I'm talking about I don't remember his name now.
Joshua Oluwayemi.
Oluwayemi. Yeah, Josh Oluwayemi. Coincidentally as well, his younger brother is a goalkeeper as well too.
Yeah.
With
Celtic.
Yeah, it was Celtic. So Joshua should be looking for a loan move.
Well, again, it depends on the squad situation with Tottenham, because last year he was moved up to cover for their Premier League team at the end of last season by no other than our friend Jose Mourinho, or your friend, I should say.
Your friend, you mean.
he was moved up to the first team. It now depends on what their goalkeeping situation is like. If he's going to be sent out on loan, he shouldn't be to all those Maidenhead and co. where he was sent last season. Minimum championship,
yeah,
or somewhere in Europe where he can gain Premier League experience. Joshua, he was invited as emergency cover for the Super Eagles against Mexico. He didn't get to play. It was quite an unfortunate situation at the time. But the club had no option but to release him. Will we see him in September? It's very, very likely that he gets a recall to the Super Eagles. But let's watch this space and see what happens. Talking about goalkeepers who are on the verge of first team place in the English Premier League, there's also another one across North London, Arthur Okonkwo, with Arsenal.
Arsenal
have had some sort of madness when it comes to their goalkeepers. They got rid of good goalkeepers and they're left with one keeper, and they're now looking for another one for 30 million, this, that, and the other. But Arthur Okonkwo he was stepped up to the first team squad. Not the first team, but the first squad. So he's probably their number three goalkeeper. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in cup games. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in between the sticks for one or two games. But I see him getting a good cup run with Arsenal. Mm. And then another two goalkeepers that come to mind when it comes to stepping up to first team. Over in Turkey, we have with Gaziantep, a goalkeeper called Emmanuel James. He was cut out of the under 17. I think it was 2019. He didn't make the grade for our under 17s, but he was snapped up to Turkey by Gaziantep. He trained with their first team during preseason. I'm not sure if he's back to their under 23 team, but he's one that is knocking on the door. We also have Adebayo Adeleye of Katamon. Hapoel Katamon in Israel. He was
got promoted from the second division in Israel.
He was our under 17 goalkeeper in 2017. Snapped up by Hapoel Katamon. He was made their under 19 captain in his first year. Promoted to the first team in his second year. They didn't make promotion two seasons ago. Last season they promoted. So we will see him in the Israeli Premier League this year. So that's another prospect that will probably hit the headlines. And then finally, when we look at goalkeepers, one other former youth goalkeeper for Nigeria, Sebastian Osigwe, with Lugano in Switzerland. Yesterday, they had a cup game. I think they won 5-1. He's the second choice for Lugano, and there's Noam Baumann who's their first choice. Hopefully we'll see Sebastian get again good cup run, and if not a few league games as well. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 goalkeepers to look forward to in active service this coming season.
Wow. So Nigeria League really, at the moment, in terms of player options, are not lacking. And of course, not to talk about Yakub, who plays in Matthew Yakubu, I think.
Matthew Yakubu, the former under 20 goalkeeper for Nigeria. I think that was 2019, he was under 20.
He plays in Slovenia.
Slovenia with Sered. Unfortunately, I think he's lost his starting spot with that team. They have a second Nigerian goalkeeper, Ezekiel Ikwepamitan, who also has stepped up a few times. Matthew Yakubu needs to grab that starting spot again in order to come back into reckoning. Mm. But he was one, I think he was called up for the friendlies against Algeria and Tunisia in 2019. Didn't get to play for Nigeria, but was in the camp. But like I said, he needs to grab that his starting spot back again.
Mm. And a bit of perspective for our listeners, just in case you're wondering why our keepers keeping or playing in obscure countries, in quotes, well, goalkeeping in Europe is not that easy. So for you to find an African manning the number one spot is no mean feat. I'm sure you agree with that.
I don't think you will find more than three or four in the whole of the top 10 Europe teams.
So that's very important. Well, thank you very much for giving us a roundup of what to expect of Nigerians in the coming season. It's always a pleasure to have you on Sports.
Yes, thank you.
And hopefully when next we come to talk, there'll be another interesting development on Nigerian players.
Yeah, hopefully so, hopefully so. We still have 2 weeks of the transfer window. We're fingers crossed that we get a few more prime moves for players to put them in the shop window. I'm not saying that they must perform, but if they don't perform, then we start looking for other prime moves as well.
Yeah, you have it. We've come to the end of the show. It's nice having Dafe Otite of Nigerian 360 all year round.
Yes, sir. All the time.
So,
all right, thanks for having me.
You have a nice day, and we come your way next, we bring another interesting topic, interesting personality. Have a wonderful day and stay blessed.
And you.